Okay. Here we are. We're back. 19th podcast in the past 7 days. Bet you thought you'd heard The Last of Us in these past 7 days. Surprise. We're still here. We're still cooking with gas. And we have yet another guest on today's podcast. So, as you all know, we did run a giveaway with Circuit of the Americas for kind of like a dream weekend for two people to win, or one person, I guess, to win two tickets to the United States Grand Prix in Austin this year, with a bunch of really fun additions
Perks.
to that prize. So we will be having a member of the Circuit of the Americas team on today to chat with Nicole a little bit about COTA and the United States Grand Prix and kind of everything that goes into it, and also announce our winner. So
yeah,
yay.
we were going to be having Maggie Boyd, who is the senior manager of special projects,
And
on to
fan
just kind of,
engagement.
chat a little bit about what different weekends are like at Circuit of Americas and give us just kind of a more holistic view of what it's like to work at a racetrack.
I think it's really cool too that she is like the head of fan engagement. So, like, there's a reason why people love going to COTA. There's a reason why people think it's like one of the best tracks, not just for watching the race, but just to be a fan at a track. And, being it, like, we loved that last year there was a tattoo artist doing flash tats there, and there's rides, and there's great food, and there's all these different things. So I think it'll be really interesting to hear from her kind of how she goes about fan engagement, and why that's such a priority at COTA, versus some other racetracks. So very excited to hear that conversation. But in the meantime, there's some F1 stuff to talk about. So
Let's get
because you're listening
into
to TG1F, an F1 podcast with Kate and Nicole, we will be talking about it. Not a lot, though. There's not a lot that really happened
It was an off week. We're
in the
covering the
past like 4 days
basics,
that we haven't recorded
covering some
an
news.
episode.
Yeah, it's been a
I'm
handful
like,
of
we've had
days.
like 3 days to, gather some intel. But Singapore is this weekend. So we didn't have a race this past weekend, but we have Singapore. We love Singapore. I like love the night race
It's
vibe.
oh, whenever anyone asks me kind of like what's in your dream bucket
It's
list
always
tracks,
Singapore.
it's always Singapore.
Like, so cool, so fun. Also, as I was doing our menu research today, because we have our menu and then on the second side we do like about the race, about the track. Did you know that Singapore was the very first ever night race for F1?
Wow, okay. Very fun. I'm glad
Ever.
it's still
So
around.
I know. So they created it. The first race was in 8, and it was the first race that they ever had at night. And I think it's probably because Singapore is like super grueling on the body. Like, it's like absolutely insane. I think that it said it's like a rough street track. So like it's kind of grueling there, but then there's so much humidity that drivers can lose up to 7 pounds
I
during the
wish that was
race.
me on my commute today because it has been so humid in New York. It's like 97%
We need
humidity
to add some
for the past
G-force. You need to
couple.
add some
Just like
G-force, Nicole.
it is miserable. So I can't even imagine what it would be
Driving
like.
a
So
car
maybe
with
I
an
need to take
engine,
Singapore off of my list.
like behind your back, just like laying down, not being able to move. I'd literally die. And who was it? Was it the other year that someone was like, or was it Checo's water wasn't working in Singapore last year or something? Literally a nightmare. I'd have been like, absolutely DNF me. Like, I'm DNFing
Done.
myself.
Don't call me. Don't come to my house.
We're
We're
done.
done.
Can't do it. Not trying to do this anymore.
That's
Been
why
like,
we're
okay,
not F1
white
drivers.
flag, waving the white flag, get me out of here. But for the first time this year, I think we've heard from the Red Bull camp that they're actually worried. So basically, if they win the rest of the races this year, and there's not that many left, and they will have won every single race.
Yeah, that's a
Because
new record.
if it wasn't Max, it was Checo. So like unbelievable. But they did say that they are worried about Charles this
Which is kind of
weekend.
crazy to say. Like that's like, ooh, I got a little like a little
I have a
tingle,
little
I got a little
chill. I'm like,
chill.
that's my man. Like, you should be worried. Like, he's coming for you.
He's out for
Don't count him
blood.
out. Don't count him out. So like, yeah, very exciting for that. I see you put this note here. AlphaTauri is going to replicate Red Bull with a big upgrade. And actually, there's a lot more to that story of like AlphaTauri is actually changing around a lot of their structure to more closely replicate Red Bull. Like they want to become closer. Mm-hmm. So they're like actually going to be working out of Milton Keynes a lot more with like at the Red Bull factory and like very much closely replicating them.
I mean, we talked about this a couple episodes ago where Helmut Marko was basically like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And why are we trying to do two separate things under the same organization when we could be dominant back to back across the board? And so I think they're finally starting to realize that that's really the key to success in that.
It's not cheating because they're literally the same company.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not like
when Danny comes back, I'm like, get him in a good car.
Get him in a good car again. That's what we need. That's what we need.
That's what we deserve.
So excited to see what happens with AlphaTauri in Singapore and like if those upgrades are as successful as promised. So
we'll
TBD.
See. We're all always eagerly awaiting to see upgrades that teams are bringing to the table.
Yeah.
It's always overshadowed by another Max Verstappen win. So let's see how this weekend goes.
We'll see what happens.
Once again, I'm coming into the weekend feeling hopeful, as I always do. Mm-hmm. Let's check in on Monday and see how I feel then.
We'll see. We'll see when we record this next week. More AlphaTauri news, and this kind of broke a couple weeks ago, but I don't think we covered it on the podcast because we were on hiatus and things were happening. And then last week we had a lot to talk about. But Hugo Boss is going to be the title sponsor for AlphaTauri. They're coming from Aston Martin. We obviously know that they're an Aston Martin sponsor because we saw Lance in his gigantic suit last year. But they're going to be moving on to AlphaTauri, which again is like another piece of the puzzle for them to like replicate Red Bull, is like they want these like bigger, like more international sponsors.
Because
like
is AlphaTauri even going to be its name next year, right? I think they're up in the air about whether or not that's going to be
the
name.
I don't know if they decided, but in the article I was reading about Hugo Boss, it was saying that Hugo Boss is the title sponsor for AlphaTauri. And like it'll still be AlphaTauri, but like Hugo Boss. Because right now on Aston Martin, I think they're just like a little logo on like the nose of the car, where like for AlphaTauri it'll be like much bigger. And so I think they're kind of cementing that team.
Well, AlphaTauri is like a clothing brand. Yeah, like a clothing brand too. So it'll be interesting to see how are they going to manage their show up to the track outfits. Are they going to be in big suits or are they going to be in their AlphaTauri?
It's AlphaTauri on the top.
Hugo Boss on the bottom.
Party in the front, business in the back.
It's a slacks and party shirt kind of situation.
Exactly. But something else I actually do want to talk about, like I'm going to skip down a little bit to talk more about AlphaTauri and just kind of like end our AlphaTauri talk after this. But Yuki is worried about his seat at AlphaTauri because Franz Tost, like the head of AlphaTauri right now, has been on record to say he definitely wants Yuki to be on the team next year and like he loves Yuki and like thinks he's done a great job improving, which we love. But Franz is retiring at the end of this season. And the incoming CEO, Peter Beyer, says that he thinks that AlphaTauri needs to stop only developing young drivers and needs to take its team seriously and use only have experienced drivers. And he was like, Danny's perfect. Like Danny has the experience. He's what we need. He's already like shown a good improvement in the car for like the couple races he was in. We need two of those. So now Yuki's like, I'm not a rookie, but I'm also not as experienced as Danny. And so at one point there was rumors that Seb was going to come back. He said that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like Peter Beyer was like, that's not going to be it. But now Yuki has even come out and he's like, I thought that I was kind of safe, but now I don't really know. And they're just going to make the decision. So I'm really worried about Yuki. He's been doing so good, very much giving
Game of Thrones. You either win or you die. And I feel like with poor Yuki, he's fighting for his life.
One day you're in and the next day you're out.
Unfortunately, I think I have high hopes for Yuki. I feel like, you know, he's shown a lot of progress. Yeah. And especially if they have at least Danny on the team, it's not like two rookies. Mm-hmm. I guess with Nyck de Vries and Yuki, like that was a super young team. And because like Yuki didn't really have anything to teach Nick that much.
Right.
So, but I think between the two of them, I think Yuki should be safe. We'll see.
I hope so. So anyways, that's AlphaTauri. So we don't need to, that was a lot. That was like a lot of
This is actually AlphaTauri. Just an entire AlphaTauri episode.
We're only talking about AlphaTauri.
If we want to keep going on the AlphaTauri train, we can also talk about how Danny's number one fangirl this week, how he has just been in his fangirl era.
He really has.
He is singing Olivia Rodrigo. He's singing Taylor Swift. He's just being iconic on the internet, and
yeah,
it makes it, he's come a long way from only singing, like, doing his
raps,
wagon wheel or raps. and so I'm very glad to see he's transitioned into his pop fangirl era.
Well, I was laughing because people were in our DMs when he was singing Driver's License. And they were like, ooh, eyeball emoji. Like, do we think that, like, Heidi dumped him or something? Like, why is he singing this, like, sad breakup song? And I was like, girls, please. Danny is not smart enough to drop an Easter egg. Danny's not smart enough to drop an Easter egg on us. Like, this man could literally never. Like, he's just singing this silly song. He doesn't even know what it's about. He doesn't know the lore behind it. He doesn't know that it's maybe about Sabrina Carpenter. Like, he doesn't know these things. He heard this song a couple years too late, and he's now singing it on Instagram. It is not a wink, wink, nudge, nudge about Heidi.
And you know what? It was on Guts release day too, which I was like, why won't you just do one of her new songs?
Because he doesn't know. He probably like, doesn't even know who sings that.
Do It's a Bad Idea, right?
like,
come on, Danny, get with the times. He's such a boomer sometimes.
Yeah, well, he's 100 years
old. You would think dating Heidi would keep him young. But apparently not.
Apparently not. So anyways, that's what Danny's been up to. If we want to keep the AlphaTauri Red Bull train going. This is good.
Let's just keep it going. The vibes are good.
The vibes are going. So Checo setting a record this week. There's so many records going on right now. There's record after record after record after record. Red Bull is just absolutely collecting records like Infinity Stones this year. But Checo, this week, after this week's race, will set the record as the driver to race the most numbers of Grand Prix next to Max as a teammate.
Wow, what a feat. What a fun and special.
What a feat for him.
Record for him.
Yeah.
Just a little boy from South America, breaking records.
I'm just a little boy from Mexico, and now I'm smashing it. Just a little boy from Guadalajara, and now I'm smashing it. Like,
Checo, you deserve all of the awards for putting up with Red Bull and Max for this long. And Helmut Marko, for God's sakes.
That absolute raisin.
People were like, I just saw an article and I was like, calls for Helmut Marko to be fired. And I said, yeah, the fans are writing about that, but they're never going to fire Helmut Marko. He has blackmail on everyone in that company. He's going to get fired.
He has to die. And that's the only way he's going out.
It's like a Supreme Court justice. Like, the only way he's going out is what he's gonna in a do. Body bag.
He's dying, and then he's having a deathbed confession, and he's outing everyone. He's saying, very I'm much all down with me.
It's giving anti-hero Taylor Swift music video where she's like, oh, you bitches thought you were in the will, psych. I'm reading you to filth instead.
Like he's having a bedside deathbed confession that he's just outing everyone. I'm dying of natural causes right now, but if I go down, we're all going down.
Tell Cersei it was me.
Tell him. Christian
it was me. Yeah. That's Helmut. Like,
Kelly, it was me. Tell Kelly it was me the whole time.
The whole time.
Kelly thought she was taking Red Bull down from the inside, but she wasn't. It was Helmut.
That would be a huge twist. That would be a huge turn of events. And honestly, I would like to see it. I'd like to see
if that did happen. Might posthumously
take back everything.
Take back what I said. Yeah.
The thing is, he put out some stupid ass apology about the Checo situation.
I know, he's like, I should never have attributed to his race, and I'm like, yeah, you think?
They're like, okay, grandpa, like, this is like,
it, the US... it was just written so like formally. I was like, your PR person was like, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep. I'm surprised it wasn't a Notes app apology, if I'm being honest.
He
I'm
doesn't surprised. Even know Notes app. He doesn't even know what that is.
But that's how little the apology felt, is that it should have just been on a Notes app screenshot, date and time from like 2 days ago, Sam. And then posted.
Dear Sam, that day on Instagram.
Anyway, moral of the story, fuck Helmut Marko. See you in hell, bitch.
And Peter Bayer, you have one chance to not fire Yuki, and then we're out on all Red Bull people.
We're not asking for much. We're not asking for much.
All right, where should we go next? I want to talk about Valtteri Bottas. Brighter now.
Please.
Let's talk about people we love. So Valtteri Bottas is, speaking of people collecting things like Infinity Stones, Valtteri Bottas is collecting entrepreneurial ventures. Like Infinity Stones.
He needs to start a venture capital firm.
He's like, Tiffany's got the beer. Bottas and Tiffany now, what do they have? Like a seltzer? Like he has a hard seltzer company. They have their gin. And now he has...
Don't forget his pizza.
His pizza and his coffee.
He has a coffee roastery.
And now he has wine.
He said, my life's a party and you're all invited.
Literally. So... it's kind of like how Danny works with St. Hugo for like the DR3 wine. So it's a limited release wine called the Ayana Bottas Special Edition 2-Pack. And it's a true collector's item. So it's sourced from a 6th-generation family-owned vineyard in the premium wine region of McLaren Vale. First of all, weird. McLaren Vale, South Australia. So once again, Bottas, like, actually, my birth certificate now says Australia.
I forget what you've heard about me.
Yeah,
I'm actually in the witness protection program, and I'm actually Australian. Oh,
yeah, actually, if you look at my records, it's been scrubbed. It does not say Finland anymore. But so the wine was brought together by Valtteri Bottas' passion for great wine and the know-how of one of Australia's best winemakers. So
Danny better watch his back.
I'm like, well, now we have to have it, and we have to have Eric back on, and we have to taste this one. But we probably also have to get St. Hugo Danny's wine again to do like a comparison.
Do a full flight.
We have to do a flight, and then we have to do a blind taste test to be like which one is which one is better. Blind
taste test, which one's better. Is that we have to drink 4 bottles of wine.
Moral of the story.
Like, all I'm hearing.
Let's call up our waiter from Rio Maggiore and say, guess what we're about to do, bitch?
Bitch.
Bitch. You thought we couldn't do it. Guess what we're going to do again for fun this time? Not even because we're being in a competition with you. So, yeah. He's entrepreneuring, Your Honor. He is
we gotta get him on for some business advice. We really do. A recurring segment with Bottas on the pod where he's coming in, he's telling us how to run business. We don't need to go to HBS Harvard Business School. We don't need Toto. We've got Bottas. We need VBS, Valtteri Bottas School. That's what we need.
I'm getting an MBA, a master's in Bottas, but master's MBA, master's in Bottas influence.
Advice.
Master in Bottas advice. MBA. That's what I want.
That's what
I'm putting it on my resume.
You don't have an MBA?
That's so
from BBS?
Crazy.
That's so like, embarrassing. Oh,
actually,
for you.
I do have an MBA. So you should be paying me more because I have an MBA. A master's in Bottas advice. So
sorry.
Cough it up. Charles, he raced this weekend in the Jules Bianchi karting marathon in Le Castellet to honor Jules. Obviously, we all know that Jules Bianchi passed away in Suzuka years ago. He was an F1 driver and was Charles's godfather. And so Charles is still really close with the Bianchi family and does whatever he can to help support. So he was in the cockpit of the car of cart number 17. For 60 minutes from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. on Sunday, and then got back in the car before noon before he left for Singapore. This was like,
I'm crying at the text that you pasted in here about it. You have to read it.
Okay, it says, yeah. So I'm going to just say it was like a relay. So like, you know, it's like the 24 hour of Le Mans where you'd go and like you drive certain stints and you're on a team. Yeah. So it says, swiftly settling into the cockpit of cart number 17, he assumed a 60 minute relay from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. this Sunday. He would later take the reins again shortly before noon before vanishing into the horizon en route to Southeast Asia, where he will reignite his F1 campaign.
They won.
Well, I put that in. I put the one in.
Oh, I was like, that's a beautiful ending.
Yeah, the JB17 team won the marathon. Shocker. Charles was on the team. They had an F1 driver on the team, so I'm shocked that they won. So
you know what? They deserved it. I think even if it was rigged, it doesn't matter. Everyone still had fun.
Yeah, and I feel like everyone wants Jules' godson to win. Like that's win. Just like a fun thing.
Whatever. They gave it to him. They handed him that win.
So anyways, that's what happened with Charles this weekend. It was actually cute because in the article it was saying he actually cleared his schedule for this like a couple of months ago when they announced that it was happening, and he cleared his schedule for it and like actually pushed off going to Singapore like an extra day so that he could stay and do that. Good guy, Charles. We all know it.
We love.
Okay, a funny thing that happened this week is that George and Lewis were in ice baths together. Two dudes sitting in some ice baths 5 feet apart because they're not gay. And it was very funny because everyone noticed. So they're both sitting in these ice baths, which are literally storage bins. Like these are like bins that like I have my winter clothes in right now.
Your brother has one in his he had one. He doesn't live there anymore, unfortunately. Okay. But for subject. But him and Nick split an ice bath tub. I was there.
It's literally like a storage container from Home Depot. It's like insane. But so they're sitting there and everyone's like, not George writing his name on his ice bath, like to make sure he knows which one is his. And people are like, George Russell's the kind of guy that definitely labeled all his clothes going to school. 100%. And it's like, I feel like it's just such classic George.
Speaking of classic George, always with the feet pics again. He's not sly. He's not sneaky. We know
Carmen's photo. Yes. Carmen's photo of watching tennis on TV and he just sticks his foot into the thing and she's like, George wanted to be in this. Like, so he put his foot in. We see right through George
and Taylor Swift foot fetishes. They're always having their bare feet out. Put the dogs away. I don't want to see them.
Who let the dogs out? George. But also a fun little crossover in my life was that George and Carmen were at the Rugby World Cup.
I know. I saw that. So fun.
I know. And Nick and I both like sent the photo to each other at the same time. We were like, what a weird intersection of our lives.
He's looking so interesting with his new hair because it's like he has highlights. And like, I'm like, you look so posh with your fluffy hair and so highlights.
Posh. It's like more posh than when he had it like slick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of love it.
It's working for him. It's really working. And then he was wearing that tan suit and like the cuffed pants with the bare ankles. I was like, you are so posh right now. Like
so posh.
Everything about you, like you're giving rich.
Yeah, posh spice. Yeah. For sure. So a very fun little George thing for me and my life. This next one is very fun about Carlos.
Carlos is really opening up. And he's been having a lot more fun lately, which I love for him. But he recently on the WTF F1 podcast, they Matt and Tom.
No, Tommy, it's were, P1 with Matt and Tommy. They left WTF1.
Oh, sorry. I forget. And so they were interviewing Carlos and they were like 50% of the questions that we received from the audience was, what is your hair care routine?
Fake that not one person asked, where do you get your pants? Where do you get your jeans?
You guys are really fake for that. The real Lily fans
is really disappointed.
But anyway, so he goes, oh, that's so funny. I literally don't do any, because they're like, why is his hair so perfect when you take your helmet off? And he's like, I don't think it is. And everyone's like, sir, I guess you've never seen yourself.
It is.
It really is. And he was like, I shampoo my hair in the morning, no conditioner. And then sometimes I'll shower 2 or 3 times a day. And if I shower again, I don't shampoo. I just wet it.
Okay. Well, here's the thing is that I will vouch for that. I'll vouch for that as a good hair care routine, because when I went to the hairdresser a couple of years ago, I was like, my hair is curly, but it isn't being curly mm-hmm. anymore. And she was like, you should stop using conditioner because it really weighs your hair down. If you have like, because I have a lot of hair, but it's not fine. It's like more like medium. And she's like, but sometimes, especially if you're using the wrong conditioner, it can like weigh your hair down. And so it like takes kind of like the curl and like the volume out of it. Mm-hmm. So for like 2 or 3 years, I stopped using conditioner. And I just used shampoo and my hair was like so voluminous and curly and it like kind of like came back to life. And so like, I don't doubt that that's what he does because he's not putting conditioner in it. So there's like not these like heavy oils or anything yeah. on his hair. So it can just like be free.
Yeah.
So.
And be free it will be because.
Be free.
God bless.
It does. God bless.
Free at last. Let that hair be free at last. I think one of the last things we have to talk about, well, before we get into the excellence that is Joe's photo shoot, I want to talk a little bit about how this week Mike Crack talked about how Lance and Fernando are basically on par with each other in terms of competitiveness. Like, is it April Fool's? Is Lawrence behind you? Like, blink twice if Lawrence is blink behind twice. You with a gun to hit your head. Like, that's like so hee hee ha ha that you think that any of us would believe that Lance and Fernando are on par with each other.
Yeah.
That man has won 2, 3 world champions? 2.
Yeah.
And he's one of the fastest people on the grid despite having a horrible car. So don't even talk to me.
Literally do not speak
to me.
My crack. My neck, my back. My pussy and my crack.
He's on the crack cocaine if he thinks that any of us are going to believe that.
He's on the crack cocaine. Very funny. Yeah. Ridiculous. A ridiculous statement for him to have made in general.
Literally.
Like, nobody's believing you. But I do need to talk about Joe.
Well, please, we do. It was...
This Lululemon photo shoot.
Took my breath away.
Okay, but the first photo of him in, like, this house with like this tiny little TV on a TV cart. It's yeah. really giving Kim and Kanye's photo shoot where they like rented out like the trailer home to pretend yes. that they were poor. Remember they were like had this whole aesthetic going after she yes. got robbed and they yes. were like, we actually don't have any money. And so they yep. like cosplayed as average Americans, like poor people. That's what this photo is giving to me. But he looks incredible. Like I need him to wear glasses all the time.
He looks so good.
Like, me. He looks so good. And this one of him sitting on the car, like, he's serving face your honor. It's this is a model. This is a true model. This is a male model. This is a runway star. This is a fashion show star. This is a cover model.
Get
this
that is man someone on the cover of
that
Vogue.
I want to be looking at all the time.
He's stunning.
I would be
he's
looking
beautiful.
At him all the time.
He's gorgeous. He has the moment. He knows his angles.
All of them are his angles. I don't think he has a bad angle in him.
No.
I'm pissed.
He was born to be a star. And regardless of how his F1 career turns out, he will always have a space in the fashion world. I believe that. He's going to be a model. Don't worry about it, Joe. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. You'll be fine.
It was the moment.
Absolutely stunning.
I loved it.
And one final thing on the agenda. I was just going to talk about how this article came out recently about how Pierre Gasly has raised concerns over fans overcrowding the paddock. And, you know, obviously last year we saw in Mexico that there was like chaos. And it's kind of crazy that people who pay the amount of money that they do to get into the F1 paddock behave the way that they do.
Literally.
Like, I'm like, you're paying thousands of dollars to act that way? To like knock on the Alpine, knock, 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 Pierre, come out. Yeah. Come out here and be my court jester? Like, that's insane. Like, that's insane behavior.
Insane.
So I think, you know, it's kind of unfortunate because I feel like they'll probably start cracking down on like the interactions that you could have within the paddock. And it's just kind of like people are going to ruin a good thing. Like if you can't act like an adult, you can't behave well, like, look what you made me do, as Taylor Swift says. Like, this is why we can't have nice things. Your privileges are being taken away. So yeah. I will be curious to see kind of how paddock rules change in the next season to just kind of ensure that the F1 drivers have a safer working environment. They don't have to worry about being hounded like fucking Paris Hilton in 2001.
All right. Well, it's time for the girls' room.
Let's get into it.
The girls' room. Quickly before we chat with Maggie. So another thing that happened while we were on our hiatus, and we weren't really doing, and I think we might have talked about her once or twice on the podcast, but an official welcome to a brand new WAG in the WAG paddock is Mary Lou Bélanger from Montreal, Canada. She is 24 years old and she's dating Lance Stroll. She was born on November 12th, 1988, which is my mom's birthday, not the same year.
1998,
you're right.
I was like, how is she 24 and born in 88?
But my mom is also born on November 12th, so she's got a good birthday twin. She's a model. She works with like 300 agencies. She has so many modeling agencies in her bio. She's like Folio Management, MGM Models, Sutherland Models, Wilhelmina London, Select Models Los Angeles, Select Model Miami. My God, girl, have a few more representations. There's surprisingly not a lot about her online, which is very weird for like a young socialite who's like very popular in Canada. But she was on a reality show in Quebec called Occupation Double. It's similar to Love Island. And apparently she was well-liked based on like our followers who like wrote in to tell us, apparently she was well-liked, but there was also obviously a lot of drama. It's a reality show. So that's all I really know about her. She and Lance have been like canoodling for a while. People have seen them out at like sporting events and concerts and on boats and hanging out around Canada. So I don't know. I mean, I think good for him. I'm glad he found someone. I also feel like love when people find someone from like where they're from. They're the exact same age. They're both 24. And
Lance is that young?
I think so. I don't know. This article that I am reading said 24-year-old dating 24-year-old.
Lance feels older than that.
Let's see. He is 24. October 29th, 1998.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's kind of crazy. I feel like he seems way older than 24.
Yeah. So a couple years ago, you were really hating on a child.
That's a communal
my least favorite was Roman Grosjean. I hated Roman Grosjean and you hated Lance Stroll, and that's how we divided it up. We both didn't like either, but that's how we divided it up.
Fine, whatever.
As in our first but episode, you know what? It's okay. Who's our least favorite, and I said Roman Grosjean and you said Lance Stroll.
It's okay because I said it at the beginning of this year was the Lance Stroll redemption year.
Yeah.
So his PR team's coming in hot.
So anyways, yeah, that's Mary Lou. And I don't know anything else about her. So she looks like every other bitch here. She's like just very, very beautiful and blonde and like has a perfect face. So
what can you do?
What can you do? Surprise. She's stunningly beautiful.
Modeling agency. That's why.
Yeah. So yeah, that is that's the girls' room. I didn't really look into anything else. Obviously, Carmen has been with George, going all around. They were at the Rugby World Cup, and they were doing things. But I didn't really.
Kelly's been kind of bouncing. Kelly around was in New York Fashion Week.
Okay, but did you see Lily's story with the drama?
Hysterical.
I was like, you actually can never unsubscribe from this press list now. But Lily told us so. She and you, if you follow Lily Herman on Instagram, which you should, you'll have seen this. But for people that don't follow her yet, go follow her now. But I'll tell you about this because it was on her story, so it's gone. But Lily got an email. She is a journalist, so she's on the press distribution list for a fashion brand that had a show in New York City or a party that Kelly was going to and was wearing. And so these brands, they send out to all of their like media contacts a list of all the high profile people that are attending these parties, and it's usually people that are like invited by the brand, styled by the brand, and showing up for the brand, so that people can write about who the who's who of where and where they were. But Lily looked and Kelly was not on the list, even though she was invited and styled by the brand. So the brand must not think that Kelly's as cool as she thinks she is. We obviously saw some forced paparazzi photos of Kelly, who calls the paparazzi on herself, allegedly quite frequently. But, you know, it's just another instance of Kelly really trying to break into the U.S. market as a socialite, I guess. I don't really know what she, like, wants to be. So,
yeah, kind of giggling a little bit.
I know. I was like, Lily, this is amazing. You can never unfollow them now. Like, you can never unsubscribe because, like, we need this. Yeah, so that's the tea. That's the tea. And now, stay tuned to see if you and your best friend are winning a trip or winning tickets to the Austin Grand Prix. Here is Nicole's chat with Maggie.
Let's go. Well, hi, Maggie. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing so well. Are you joining us from the Circuit of Americas today?
I sure am. So if you hear cars in the background, I'm so sorry. We've got a track rental in, so it's a little noisy around here.
Honestly, that's perfect. We just did an episode with Jamie Chadwick a couple of days ago, and she was like, so sorry we're doing IndyCar. If you hear that in the background, we're like, honestly, our audience loves car noises, so it's the perfect background noise. So actually, no need to apologize. If you want to take your microphone outside and pick up some of the sound, that would actually be perfect for us.
Yeah.
Well, for everyone who's listening today, I'm joined by Maggie as my co-host today. Kate is out to dinner with fiance Nick, so it's just me and Maggie today, but we're going to chat a little bit about what it's like working at the Circuit of Americas, kind of the different series that the track has, and then we're going to pick our lucky winner of our Austin weekend tickets. So very excited.
Yes, super stoked.
Amazing. Well, why don't we just kind of softball start your journey into motorsports. Our audience really loves to hear different people's kind of career journeys into getting into motorsports and kind of how you stumbled into this career. So would love to hear a little bit more about your background and how you ended up working for Circuit of Americas.
Yeah, so I actually grew up in a garage. My dad raced stock cars when I was little. I took my first steps in the pits of a dirt track up in Dallas. And I just have always followed racing. I was a big NASCAR fan growing up when I was little. And so I've always had an appreciation for cars, a love of cars, motorcycles. If it has an engine, I'm oogling at it. And I went to school for sports management.
Okay.
Graduated college with a degree in that. Went on to be a sports marketing agent for NFL players. So I was actually in football for a few years. And then when COVID hit, I was living in Las Vegas. I didn't want to be in that job anymore. I didn't want to be in Vegas anymore. And so I moved to Austin. I had no job, no plan, except that I knew that COTA was in Austin. So I actually found the email the other day where I had emailed the director of events, who was there at the time in April. So in the midst of COVID, I emailed. I said, if you guys are hiring, let me know. She said, thanks so much, but absolutely not. We're in the middle of COVID.
Sorry, we're not doing an event right now.
right.
Especially not for events.
So I moved, and a couple months later, I kept stalking the website, the careers page. Are they hiring? And finally, one day, a job listing popped up that said full-time karting associate, because we've got a really cool kart track out here. So I submitted an application. I thought, if I'm just gonna, like, I just want to get my foot in the door and meet the right people, see what happens. I ended up getting an interview, and I guess the gal, my former boss who had been hiring, had told the guy going through applications, if anyone has some kind of sales experience, let me know. So I got very lucky. They pulled my app. They asked me to come in, and I actually got hired to do group sales.
Okay.
So I started out at the kart track. That reopened post-COVID. I helped out with that. And then as business started developing again, as events started happening again, I got moved over full-time into the events team in the events and hospitality department, and I've just kind of grown my career from there. So really, it was just a happenstance. I'm going to submit this application, see what happens, and it worked out really well for me.
You know what? Happenstance, but also you made it happen because you really wanted it and you had already reached out. I'm sure they had probably, you know, seen some stuff from you before. And so they were like, she's the perfect gal for us.
I like to think so.
I love that. I love that. I love that this has kind of always been, you know, your passion, and you've always really wanted to make it work in the sporting world. I will say I'm new to kind of the sports industry, and it's been a wild ride, but it's really fun to be here. So,
yeah.
So your title is, you know, it's senior manager of events and fan engagement, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Kind of a mouthful, but I do a lot of different random things. So yeah, that's the current, what we've landed on.
So what does your day to day kind of look like?
Yeah. So especially right now, we are in full F1 prep mode. Of course, we're only a little over a month away. But day to day, it's my time's kind of split between venue events. So I do a lot with the non-track activity. It's a huge property. There's something happening every single day. So I manage the team that puts those events on. So we do 5Ks, corporate meetings. We had a Van Gogh experience come through last year. It's a lot of space to work with. So there's a lot of ways to be creative with it. So I manage that team and they do a really great job. And then the other half of my job is the race related role, which is fan engagement. And that is really me just getting to find the weirdest, most outrageous, why is that in the middle of a racetrack kind of activations and, you know, finding these vendors that kind of will stand out for the crowd, booking them, bringing them in, working through the logistics of that, and just finding all the new exciting things.
I mean, that's something that we really loved last year, was that there was a tattoo artist doing flash tattoos. Yes. And we're like, this is something that we've never really seen before. So that was incredible. I think you're doing a great job at finding some really great activation. So can't wait to see or hear about the ones that are up and running this year.
Yeah. So we'll have tattoos again. Okay, she's perfect. My favorite activation. It's actually own personal.
Is she coming back?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, she came out for MotoGP in the spring. She'll be here all the time. She's actually my personal tattoo artist, a very good friend of mine.
We couldn't get around to do, we like just didn't have enough time, but we wanted to so bad. I love her stuff.
Yeah, she's great. And she books up like the start of the day. She's filled out all her time slots within the first hour of gates opening. And she has a whole flash sheet, it's always so funny to me, of all these different Texas, US, you know, Yeehaw Cowboy flash options, and then one track outline option. And she ended up, all but two of the tattoos she did during F1 were track outlines.
That's so funny. We love the little cowboy boots. We were like, should we go get little cowboy boot tattoos? We love them.
Yes. But yeah, she'll be back for sure for every race all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, I love to hear that. So next time around, we'll make sure to book early and get in with the slot for her. So is fan engagement something that COTA is really always valued? And what is kind of the main goal for when you think about creating sort of fan engagements?
COTA's always done activations, whether it's musicians or weird. We had a squirrel that water skied in the pond a few years ago.
Oh my God, yeah, he's so cute. I love
Twiggy,
him.
Twiggy, yeah. So there's always been some kind of entertainment aspect to F1, but it really ramped up in 2021 post-COVID.
Okay.
And I think there was a more of a need for it because of Drive to Survive. And the way I kind of explain it to everyone is you have your OG race fans.
Mm-hmm.
You have people who have been in the stands for years since 2012 when we opened. They want to watch every car that comes on track. They're glued to track activity. They love it. And there is a ton of track activity. F1 jams our schedule full of it. It's great. Yeah. Then you have the fans who are new, and we love them because we're super excited for people to be into the sport, into the drivers, but they are only there for their driver.
Right.
They're only there to watch, you know, Max Verstappen on track or Danny Rick in his cowboy hat. And so they're very fixated on those very small windows of time when the actual F1 race, you know, whether it's qualifying practice, when the actual F1 drivers that they love are on track. However, they're here for hours and hours and hours. You might get here in the morning, watch the practice session, and then you're going to stay for the Killers concert on Friday night. So you're there for a really long period of time. And we had to adapt to find a way to keep them entertained because you don't want them to be bored. You don't want them to be sitting there miserable, hot, you know, you want it to be a really exciting experience for them. So with the influx of all these new fans who, you know, maybe don't have as great appreciation for the Masters Historic Series, you got to keep them. And so it's just kind of turned into how do I keep them engaged? How do I keep them from falling asleep in the grass in the GA area? I got to give them something to do. And it's been really fun to watch it grow because every year it's just adding more and adding more and adding more and adding something new and different. And so it's a really exciting position to be in, but you know, it's like I said, it really has been since post-COVID with the popularity of Drive to Survive that we've seen an increase in the need for it.
I'm really curious kind of how this came about. You know, obviously 2020 was a rough year. I don't remember. Did CODA have a race in 2020? Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
No.
Okay. So I feel like, was this something that at the start of the 2021 season, you guys kind of sat down and were like, okay, we're expecting this influx of new fans? Or was it something that maybe you got feedback from some of the fans who had attended? What was kind of the push to increase engagement like that?
I think it was just that we were bracing ourselves for the influx of fans, because we had seen that our ticketing for that year was increasing from years past. We were gearing up to start setting our own records, let alone F1 records for attendance. And so it was kind of looking at that and realizing, oh man, there's a lot of them coming and they're going to be here for a long time. So I think it was just, and I think we got a ton of new staff in after COVID, a ton of new people around here that had fresh perspectives on it, that have all different backgrounds of event planning and different, you know, facets of the industry. And so I think having the new people come in with a fresh view of it really helped kind of drive that engagement piece of it.
That makes sense. Okay, switching gears a little bit. Mm-hmm. CODA obviously is not just an F1 track. There are many different series that come through the Circuit of America. So how do weekends at CODA differ from series to series?
Great question. We have what we consider our major race weekends, which is the F1 weekend and MotoGP weekend. And those two weekends in and of themselves are completely different. It's a totally different fan base, different size, scope, scale. So those weekends, even the major race category, those are very different. But I mean, we have everything from club racing that comes out, and it's anyone with their kind of spec car wants to come drive on the track, they can come do that. To, we had Moto America in this past weekend, which used to be a sub-series of MotoGP, and they've now broken out into their own independent series, which is really exciting to have them out here as a standalone series this past weekend. And we got about 3,500 plus race fans out, which is great.
Yeah.
So our track rental schedule really ranges where we'll have maybe 40 cars on track for a track rental that weekend to, you know, we'll have Ferrari Challenge that comes in and brings in thousands of guests. So it's a very wide range. It takes a lot of different teams to put these different events together, but it's really fun to watch it go from, you know, smaller track rentals to all of a sudden there's hundreds of thousands of people at the track in one weekend. So
I'm sure. And do you think about like fan engagement differently for these weekends? Are some, you know, I'm assuming the F1 weekends are much more packed with activities for other people to do versus, you know, weekends where it's kind of this classic car racing series where those people are there to race cars. They don't necessarily need that much extra engagement, but it is your job. So I'm sure you do something for those people on those types of weekends. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah, well, some series will bring in their own entertainment. So Moto America brought in some of their own vendors, so I'm off the hook on those weekends. I focus the fan engagement mostly on MotoGP and F1.
Okay.
Just because they are so large scale. But we do a lot of different, I have a lot of vendors that are local that when a track rental is coming in and they say, hey, I'm looking for a digital caricaturist, or I'm looking for massage therapists or something. I do have a list of local vendors that we'll bring in to make those experiences better. And then we have a great program, CODA Cares, which is not so much fan engagement, but it's driver and team engagement. When we do have those smaller track rentals where we'll hand out popsicles or do a lemonade stand, and it seems small, but it makes a big difference for those people who are spending the weekend out there, to just let them know we're excited for them to be here at CODA. You know, we hope they're enjoying their weekend. Let us know if you can do anything. So that program's new in the last 3 years, and we've seen a lot of really positive feedback with it. So we're always looking for ways to make it, you know, just like one step up. If you're going to spend the weekend with us, yeah, you're here to drive your car and have fun, but you know, what can we do to make it a little better?
I love that. That's so special. You know, I love creating moments for mm-hmm. people to feel super valued. And like, you know, they want to come back because they just had such a memorable experience. And I can say for certain, that's how Kate and I felt at CODA last year. So doing an excellent job. What has been one of your favorite activations that you've been able to bring to the circuit?
My tattoo artist.
Tattoo. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's so good. It's definitely the best. Like, it's so Austin. It's so American. Like, I just loved it. It was so mm-hmm. fun. Again, she had such great flashes that I was like, man, I need to get over there. I need to get to that side of the track to do this. So for everyone who's going this year, like, scope her out immediately. Like, maybe even send her a DM beforehand. We'll post her at, and just get in touch with her. Even if you're in town before, book an appointment with her because she's wonderful.
Yeah, she's great. But yeah, so the tattoos, they're always my favorite just because she's a good friend of mine. But I had this little gimmick last year where next to the tattoos, I had permanent bracelets, and it was a link by Lou. So it was getting to get linked kind of thing. I think my favorite activations are the ones that people, it doesn't just last long enough on your Instagram story. Mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, this is really cool, let me take a picture for my story. It's the stuff when you can take it home with you.
Yeah.
And like, look at my tattoo that I have
What's more permanent than a tattoo you got at an F1 race?
Exactly. Or look at my permanent bracelet, or look at this jacket that I bought, or whatever. I think it's stuff that lasts. Those are my favorite ones. Or the really outlandish, the giant octopus El Popo that shot flames in the air. And it's my favorite things are the things that really make people go, where did you even find that?
Those are my favorite. That's so fun. How do you suggest fans get the full CODA experience in a weekend?
That's a great question, because it is such a massive property.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you hit everything. But I think my biggest recommendation, especially for like a 3-day grounds pass holder, would be to just sit at a different turn every day. I would, you know, my favorite personal spot to watch in the GA lawn is turn 6. I love turn 6. I love the S's. And then if you could do turn 6 on one day, turn 1 on another, and then the infield on the last day. Mm-hmm. So I think the best way to get the experience is to see as much of it as possible and get the different views. And then no matter where you are, there's some kind of village or fan zone in that space. You can spend that whole day hanging out at that area. And that way you can cover 3, you know, major sections of the property and get the most out of the weekend.
Yeah, because correct me if I'm wrong, but it's something like you can see 75% of the track from almost anywhere that you're sitting. Is that?
Yeah, just about.
That's true, right? So mm-hmm. I feel like it's, Austin is one of the better tracks in that there's not really a bad seat in the house. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to have the opportunity to kind of bounce around your different corners is really special.
Yeah.
And what's one thing, what's a can't miss attraction during a CODA race weekend that if you only had time outside of all of the racing that you were watching to visit one outside of the tattoos, what would it be?
The tower.
Okay.
The tower observation deck, I always recommend it. You cannot beat the view from the top of that thing. You get a full 360 view of the track, plus a view of downtown and all of the surrounding land. I think it's one of the coolest views in F1. I think it's a really unique opportunity for people to get above the track and see mm-hmm. the whole thing at once. So I always recommend the tower for sure.
And is this something like, we didn't get to the top last year, but is it slotted? Do you wait in time? Do you buy tickets? What's kind of the thing to know about the tower situation?
It's ticketed. So anyone can buy a ticket at the base. You just walk down, you follow the signage for it, walk down to the base, they'll get you a ticket and they'll send you the top. It is closed at sometimes for private events, groups will buy it out, but for the most part it's open and accessible, and I highly recommend it to anyone that's there that weekend.
Okay. Amazing. Have you visited other tracks for inspiration?
I have visited other tracks in my life, just in general, most of them being motor speedways, just NASCAR based tracks. So I haven't had a chance to go to a different F1 track for inspiration, but I actually pull most of my inspiration from festivals.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time on TikTok after Coachella and EDC and Lollapalooza, scrolling through going, what do they have? What do they have? And not a single person in my life is safe from being put to work. One of my best friends was at Monza, mm-hmm. and she texted me very innocently a photo of the racetrack and said, look where I am. I said, that is so good. I'm so excited for you. Also, can you send me a picture of literally everything that they have going on? Same with, I had my brother went to Coachella and I put him to work. I'm like, can you just take pictures of all the cool things, all the photo ops and the activations? He's younger than I am. He goes, okay, well, what's an activation? I say, oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Okay.
So nobody in my life is safe from being put to work if they're at a major event anywhere in the world.
I love that so much. I mean, you got to put your people to work. That's what they're there
for. Exactly.
How else are you going to draw inspiration? You're just one person. You need, you need more people to bring that to you.
I need boots on the ground.
Exactly. Okay. Well, outside of that, what is a track that you've really enjoyed visiting that you thought, you know, had a decent fan engagement situation outside of F1?
That's a great question. I actually am going to shout NASCAR out at our own track.
Okay.
Their team, because we do NASCAR, this was year two of NASCAR, and they come in and take over the whole property, and their fan engagement team is bananas. They find the most outlandish things that I never in a million years would dream up. And so it's fun when they come in. I've actually straight stolen ideas from their team. They had canine stars at NASCAR last year. And I went to the race director and I said, you've got to give me the contact information for those dogs right now.
I'm so begging.
Yeah, they know how to keep their fan base entertained. I'm not sure. I think they do it at other tracks. I'm not sure if it's on the same scale at other tracks as it is when they come here. But they do such a good job of finding the craziest stuff that people are just so excited about.
Well, I feel like COTA really has the luxury of space and it being built as a track to kind of entertain on, which I think some of, you know, these smaller European tracks, which are either street races or, you know, were built a long time ago, were not set up for fan engagement of this level. And one thing America does really, really well is our entertainment. So, you know, I think the U.S. races are kind of spectacles and really fun to be a part of. And I think that that's just unfortunately our brand.
Yeah. Do you say unfortunately? I think it's fortunate.
I mean, it depends who you ask. I also love it. Like, I want to get more into NASCAR because I love the spectacle of it. Like, I love the culture. I want to be I want to be drunk on Bud Lights in the infield. Like, I just, like, I want to, that's where I want to be. And so that's why people are kind of mad that there's more U.S. races, right? But I'm like, you have to experience it because it's a whole new level of entertainment. And you can tell the drivers enjoy it. Like, the drivers are super psyched about coming to the American races because there's always so much going on and there's so many new activations and, like, fun things to do. Whereas, you know, I was also just in Monza and I was like, man, this race is so boring compared to Austin.
Exactly. Well, and we had a meeting right after Monza where we all sat down and said, so we saw that race, right? We're all looking at each other. And somebody looked at me and goes, I hope you have a lot going on. Because if it goes anything like that, they're going to need things to look at. I said, yeah, don't worry. So,
well, don't worry. Maggie's on the case, everyone. If there is an aborted start in Austin this year.
Exactly.
There will be fireworks. There will be juggling clowns. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, kind of segueing a little bit, but some of our listeners, many of them actually, if they're visiting Austin for an F1 race weekend, will be visiting Austin for the first time. So outside of things to do in COTA, what are some recommendations you have for people visiting Austin for the first time?
I always recommend South Congress just because it's iconic. You can't miss it. It's all the shopping district, all the good murals, the I Love You So Much wall on the side of Joe's Coffee. It's always a fan favorite of anyone visiting Austin. And then I always recommend just find a TikTok page that's Austin-based, some kind of Austin-based influencer that blogs food, because you can eat at a different restaurant for a different meal every single day of your life. And still turn around and go, that was the best meal of my life every single day. So there are so many restaurants to be tried and so much good food that I always tell everyone that's visiting. I'm like, don't eat the same place twice. And if you're going to spend your money, spend it on food because it's really good.
Do you have a favorite barbecue spot?
Oh, Terry Black's.
Terry Black's. I mean, that's the best one. Yeah. I mean, no contest, really. When we were there, Kate and her fiance, she had a work event the following weekend, so they stayed an extra week, and they ate there twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nick was like, I got to go back. We got to go back and get him more things.
Yeah. You have to mentally prepare yourself for Terry Black's. That's a whole experience.
We actually, when we were there the first time, we saw Yuki. So we saw Yuki at Terry Black's that night. So it's like, if Yuki likes it, it's a good place to
be. It must be good. Yep. Exactly.
All right. And kind of wrapping up a little bit, but obviously this is an F1 podcast. We know you do things other than F1, but just a kind of rapid fire F1 favorites. So who is your favorite F1 driver?
Danny Rick.
Oh, that's my girl. Yes, absolutely. Were you super? Were you part of the engagement of him showing up on a horse last year?
No.
Did you come up with that?
No. But the amount of phone calls, because everyone around here knows he's my favorite. I just think he's so fun.
Yeah.
And I got so many phone calls when that happened of people going, Danny's on a horse in the paddock. You have to get down here now. And I've never moved so fast as I did at that moment.
She's a runner. She's a track star.
Actually, though, it was so good.
That's so funny. Did you do you know how that got set up, or was it just like he just showed up with a horse? I need to know the logistics behind how that all came together.
I have no idea. I have no idea who set it up, who arranged it. I don't think it was Coda. I think it was F1 or McLaren. I'm not sure. I just know it was magical, and we will never forget it.
The number of people who comment on our Instagram post, favorite Coda memory is Danny Rick showing up on a horse, is, I think it's at 80%.
Yeah,
so
it has to be.
Okay, so outside of Danny, who's your favorite team?
Ferrari.
It hurts, but
yeah, aligned. I'm sorry. Yeah. I grew up a Michael Schumacher fan. Okay. I had posters of Michael Schumacher next to my Tiger Beat Taylor Lautner Jonas Brothers posters.
That's so iconic behavior. This is why we have built the TG1F community, because four people like you, because they're like, we know that there are fangirls who both love the Jonas Brothers and Twilight and also motorsport.
Yes.
We exist. We're here. We're real.
Yes. For me, my favorite thing is the Danny Rick, Harry Styles long distance bromance. That's probably my favorite thing in F1 right now.
My roommate is a huge Harry, and last year when Harry was wearing the Danny Rick shirt and we found out that he had a mutual friend, we did a whole PowerPoint presentation on figuring out who the mutual friend could be.
Did you figure it out?
Yeah, it's Xander, who is friends with what's his name, Jeffrey. Who's he's Harry's the agent.
The manager.
Yeah. So Xander is in, he has a clothing distribution company. So I think he helps with Enchanté. And so he's friends with Harry. And so that's kind of how it all came together.
Yeah, that was the most beautiful moment. I have it printed. This is so embarrassing.
No, it's not. For this podcast, it is not.
If Daniel Ricciardo, if you're ever listening to this, I'm sorry. There is a printout of that photo of Harry with that shirt on.
Yep.
And right next to it is the screenshot from the F1 Christmas gift, like the Secret Santa, where he has the I Heart Harry. They are printed next to each other on the cabinet next to my desk in honor of how important that moment is. And then when Harry did a shoey at his show in Australia, it was so good.
The minute that there is photographic evidence of the two of them together, it's game over. It's game over.
It will be printed the size of the wall.
I'm getting a full fat head of it for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, who has your favorite car design this season?
It's biased, but it's Ferrari.
That's fair.
I mean, the
Aston Martin is green is so pretty, though.
That is. I do also like Alpha's car. Mm. I like the red-black split on it. I do like that a lot.
Yes. And then your favorite F1 track other than Coda?
I want to say Monaco because it's so iconic, but I think it might be Abu Dhabi. And I think that might just be because of where it falls on the schedule, where it ends up being the last race.
Yeah.
And, you know, last year, and probably not this year, it won't be as exciting as it was in 2021. But I like the night race, and that track is a little unhinged. So I do really enjoy Abu Dhabi races.
I also, it is the track where they do Secret Santa, and that is my favorite F1 content.
Understandable.
Thing that they do. So that's so fair. All right, well, it's time to pick a winner.
Amazing.
Drum roll. Okay, we have randomly selected a winner, and I'm going to read it out. Their username, I don't know their gender, is XXI.CHR. Anyone who's listening or viewing. And her comment was, "We've never been to Coda, but this will be the best birthday gift if we go." And then she tagged someone. So happy birthday to our winner. We will be reaching out via Instagram to collect all of your info, and then put you in touch with the Coda team to make sure that you have the best birthday that anyone could possibly ever have.
Yes. We're so excited that you're going to celebrate a birthday with us.
It's going to be great. You'll have to get a tattoo to commemorate.
Absolutely.
It's the only solution. You'll have to get a little birthday cake in the shape of a cowboy boot. That's really it.
Yes. Do you want to do fan engagement?
Don't even play with me, Maggie, because that's my dream job. If you want to hire me, I'll come work for you any day. Okay, well, thank you so much, Maggie. This has been so fun. I loved learning more about Circuit of Americas and Austin, and I'm so, so bummed that Kate and I won't be able to go this year, but we'll see you in 2024, hopefully.
Yeah.
But congrats to our winner, and sorry to everyone else who didn't get picked, but we hope that the majority of you will still attend Austin someday anyway, because it's definitely worth it.
Come see us.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, thank you, Nicole, for that lovely conversation. I'm sorry that I missed it.
It was great. It was fun. We had a good chat. And next time, you'll be able to join us, hopefully.
Hopefully, once my life stops being a fucking disaster. But so excited for our winners to attend the Austin Grand Prix. They're going to have so much fun. So we'll be sending you guys some swag from TG1F as well. So you can be our eyes and ears on the ground. Because obviously we can't go. So we want you to go in our place and be the TG1F reps while you're there, if you are so willing. And if you don't care and don't want to do anything, that's okay too, because this is your prize. But before we go, I realized we did not do a manifest minute last week, which is the first time in a long time we haven't.
Yeah.
It felt really weird. But we do have a manifest minute this week, and this one is very important, very special. So if you are someone, I hope you're not, but if you're someone that usually skips past manifest minute or stops listening around now, I beg you to please continue listening and put your full manifesting power behind this one, because it's really special to us. So this is a manifest for our friend and follower, Autumn. She's been listening to the podcast for the past year and has just loved it, and says that we have been a bright spot in her life for the past year, which is just so nice and like weird that anyone thinks that about us. But anyways, she is asking for the collective manifesting power of the TG1F community, because she was recently diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. She wants manifestation that she's going to kick cancer's butt, and that the doctors will have the ability to help heal her quickly, that her family and her will be able to handle the journey that they're going to go on as she seeks care. So this is a really special one for us, and really something that we are hoping to do more for rather than just, you know, a manifest minute on the podcast. So stay tuned to hear more on that. But and let's take this one seriously, guys. All right. This is not one to play around with. This is not one to open your eyes before I tell you to.
This is very serious.
So if everyone can please close your eyes and take a deep breath in and take a deep breath out. And I really want everyone to think of a time in their life where they've been going through something and have really needed strength and have received that strength from people around them. Or maybe it's a time that you were going through something and you had strength on your own, and it's a time you're really proud of yourself for, you know, just really fighting through something that would be perceived as a really hard battle or something that you're really struggling with. And I want you to kind of let that feeling of strength and power and hope really just kind of like ignite in your chest. You know, feel really warm and powerful and strong. And I want you to think of our friend Autumn, and I want you to send all of that power just careening towards her. You know, Autumn is a friend of the podcast. She's a fan of the podcast. She's part of this community. And, you know, without every single person in this community, we would not be able to be here and doing these things. We would not all know each other or be able to harness this power of manifestation. And you know how, you know, powerful we think this is. And we want to do everything that we can to help her and support her and really just send strength not only to her, but her family and to the doctors that are caring for her and to everyone that will, you know, have an impact on Autumn's journey. I think, you know, we are heading into the season of autumn, and mm-hmm. I don't think that that is a coincidence. I think that this is something where, you know, we're heading into your season, Autumn. We're heading into, truly heading into autumn. And I think that that is a perfect time for you to really draw strength and power and hope from the universe. This is your time. This is your season. This is all for you. And everyone in this community is thinking of you. And we know you're going to kick cancer's ass. And we're sending strength to you and to your family and to everyone supporting you on this journey, as are we. And, I think if everyone listening to this podcast can just, you know, move forward in this week, and if you know someone who is going through something, just send them a little bit of positivity, a little bit of hope, a little bit of strength and courage and love, and just surround the people that you love with love. You know, call people in your life and tell them you love them, and just kind of bring this sense of strength into your life, however that, you know, manifests itself for you. Into your reality, and just keep Autumn and her family in your thoughts and prayers if that's something that connects with you. And I don't really want to end this because I just want to keep it going. But yeah, everyone just please manifest and think and send love this week and all the weeks moving forward. So if everyone can please seal this very special, very important manifest minute in with a deep breath in and a deep breath out, and blink your eyes open. And like I said,
so very well said, Kate.
Thank you.
Very beautiful. And yeah, I think the best thing that we can all do this week is just send some love in out into the universe and be there for the people in our lives. Yeah. And if you need someone to be there for you too, then you know,
don't
reach
be afraid
out
to ask
and just, yeah, you know, tell someone that you need them, because sometimes people don't always know when the people in their lives are struggling. So,
yeah. So, and like I said earlier, we're hoping to turn, you know, our support of Autumn into something outside of just a manifest minute. So we'll keep you all posted, and hopefully Autumn can continue sharing updates with us on how she's doing. But, Autumn, we see you, we hear you, we love you, and we are sending all of our positivity your way. So thank you all for listening. Until next week.
Next week, when hopefully we're back to regularly scheduled programming. You
we'll
won't have to
you.
Hear from us. We'll see you
on the internet. Bye.
Bye.